The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Yes, it is time now for the ultimate guide, and as ever, we're joined by Fionn Davenport, travel writer and Lonely Planet author. And Fionn, where we are going today, I am very excited about. Tell us.
Well, there is a boom in rail travel for a whole bunch of reasons. So you've got an explosion of interest, not amongst old fogies like myself, in train travel, although those two.
Old fogies like this one over here likes train travel.
No, sorry. What I mean is that, that's how I travelled when I was younger. Mm. But young people are increasingly foregoing those cheap flights to faraway destinations, saying, you know what? The journey is the thing, and getting on a train is romantic. It's old-fashioned in the best possible sense, and it's a wonderful way to explore, and particularly when you're travelling in Europe, when you consider that, I'm not picking on airports, but airports are outside of cities. Train stations are in the middle of cities.
And they're
beautiful.
You arrive, and a lot of them are beautiful.
Some of them are absolutely gorgeous. So yes, there's been a resurgence in rail travel. You've got these new sleeper services that are offering affordable sleeper compartments, which the key word is affordable. So, and you have high-speed rail networks are continuing to improve, and yeah, people are continually looking for alternatives to flying.
You're preaching to the choir with me, because I absolutely love travelling by train. I love that sense of slow travel. And I have done, relatively recently, in the last couple of years, sleeper services. I brought three of my kids, who were in their late teens, early 20s, with me. And we travelled from the Netherlands over to Austria. We mooched around. To be honest, I messed up the route insofar as that I didn't book early enough, and they are way more popular than you could ever imagine. And because of that, my route was dictated to me rather than chosen by me, if you like, because of availability.
Good point.
It leads us nicely to five mistakes.
Yes.
First-time travelers,
you know what,
make.
Ciara, you're not alone in this, and that people, I guess, if you're not used to rail travel, you might not quite understand the depth and complexity that it takes to really kind of do it. I'm going to say right, but do. First of all, you need to decide one thing before you plan, and I'll get to your question, Shane. You have to decide what role rail will play. It's either, is it the journey itself, so being on the train as part of the holiday, or is it just a means to an end? If it's a means to an end, then your task is, in a way, much simpler. But if it isn't, these are the mistakes that are commonplace.
For me, I felt that it was center stage.
Don't assume that every train is included. So whether you're buying an interrail pass, or even if you're buying point-to-point tickets, so say, for example, I want to buy a train ticket from Paris to Florence. Lots of trains, including particularly the high-speed ones, they require mandatory reservations and supplementary fees. So there might be there's a high rail fee. So if you bought your ticket, that might only get you on a certain selection of services rather than the full range. The second one is leaving bookings too late. Here's the thing. There has been an increase and a surge, but that surge has been around for a while, and train travel is incredibly popular.
If you're going from Amsterdam all the way down to Bled, like pretty much every Irish student,
interrailer,
you should book in advance.
Absolutely. Now, some services only open for bookings a few months ahead, but the really popular routes sell out really, really quickly. So know when the bookings is open and book straight away. It could be 6 months in advance. Here's another thing, and particularly in big cities, like we've all been to Paris. I presume you've traveled by train to Paris. Paris has 6 railway stations, I think. I'm counting them in my head. Don't think that because you arrive in one train station, the onward train is going to leave from the same train station. You might have to change train station. So the Gare de Lyon, for instance, services all the rail to the southeast of France into Italy. And then the Gare du Nord obviously goes up towards Belgium, and so on and so forth. And then also, here's another mistake. Don't focus only on price. So a slightly more expensive direct service is often far more worth than, say, taking multiple connections with really tight transfer times that is just going to impact your enjoyment of the experience. And then finally, here's another thing. It's like, obviously, with rail travel, you can pack as much as you can carry. That's it. And that should be your only limitation. So don't think that...
Was that a problem for you, though, Ciara?
Well, no, big people. I mean, I'm not going to carry two big suitcases.
I did just do a
pull. Did you have the 20 kg?
No, I did not. I had a pull along, and do you know what?
Like, normally when we go on our summer tour for one night, like, Kira has the 20
would
kg
suitcase.
Would you stop?
Suitcase. You're such a... What goes on the summer tour should stay on the summer tour. I had a little pull along thing, and do you know what was even brilliant for me? Because at the time I did it, I had hip surgery and I wasn't able to walk that well.
Right.
But trains were still a magnificent way to travel because you're sitting most of the time.
Yeah.
And because one of the cities that I travelled through was Amsterdam, I couldn't really walk very well, but I could cycle. And we were quite clever in what we did. Like the Netherlands is a great place to get a bike and you can get a bike anywhere and all of that. And we were in Utrecht and other places too. And so it worked incredibly well. And I still remember waking my kids up, Fionn, at about 6 a.m. because we were coming into Zurich through the Alps at dawn.
So beautiful.
And we opened the curtains and we were all in our little beds with our little, they give you a little pillow and little blankies and all that kind of stuff. And we were looking out the window and the mountains were outside. And it's one of the few times I thought to myself, you're a good parent. Do you know what I mean? Because they were just agog at this. And then they will actually deliver you. And we weren't in plush. We were in very basic sleeper sort of, not, there was nothing high tech or high sort of high class about it. We were very basic sleeper trains. They'll still knock on your door at about 7 a.m. They'll give you in hot chocolate and kind of warm buns and stuff as your kind of breakfast and you have it in bed. And it's an incredible adventure. And my 20-year-old who was on that trip with me, I think it was about 3 years ago, is about to go interrailing now for the rest of the summer with his pals. And he's like, I can't wait. I love trains. And I think some of that came from that sort of thing.
I'm going to have words with the producer because it feels like Kira is now going to do the travel slot from now on. That was so good.
No, but I'm genuine in that I have a kind of a passion for trains. I think my bucket list is always at some point I will spend one night, because it's all I'll ever be able to afford, on the Orient Express.
Yeah.
That's not now because it's like I need another mortgage. But trains are romantic. You're not wrong.
Yeah, they are romantic. They are romantic. They're in fact...
Well, it gave us Before Sunset with Julie Delphi and Ethan Hawke, isn't it?
Yes, it did.
Very romantic.
It also gave us, not to get too meta about this, but it gave us how we understand the modern holiday. Like, holidays, like the idea of 2 weeks holiday was invented in Britain with the establishment of the rail lines in the 1840s. So all of a sudden, factory workers from Lancashire and Yorkshire all of a sudden could go up to the Lake District by train, because otherwise, how are you going to get there? So trains are so intimately connected to our concept of going on holidays. Look,
tell us about, if you are planning it, where do you go?
There's a couple of things I want to say. Is like, look, a huge misconception is that European rail travel works like air travel. So unlike airlines, there is no single booking platform that covers every operator, route, country seamlessly. So, for example, also like Renfe, which is the Spanish train network, the national company of Spain, like you can book it. So oftentimes they won't take a foreign credit card or foreign debit card because of like security checks. And so it can be really frustrating. So you might have to wait till you're in country and then already you're kind of going, So
don't they have a different gauge to the rest of Europe as well? Did I remember that from my history books?
I don't know. I know that Russia has a different gauge.
Yeah. Maybe, anyway, sorry.
Oh, did Franco have a...
I have that in my head. I could be wrong.
No.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
So it is worth... Look, in terms of... There are two sites that for me are absolute Bibles when it comes to getting any information about rail travel in Europe. One is the Trainline. So absolutely one of the best consumer booking platforms for European rail travel. And then the second one, okay, is called Seat 61. And this is a site established, his name escapes me now, but it's by a guy who just loves rail travel. And he's created one of the most comprehensive encyclopedias of everything to do with rail travel, primarily Europe, but not just. So he goes like across the world. So it originally was called The Man in Seat 61, but I think it's just called Seat 61 now. And it's one of the best starting points available.
Brilliant. What about Interrail?
Yeah, Interrail, look, I mean, Interrail is great. What you want to know is that there are passes available for different age categories and travel duration. So in order to make the Interrail worth your while, you need to determine that first question that I asked at the top. Is the train journey simply a point from getting to A to B, and over the course of the month that you are away or the 2 weeks, how much train travel are you going to actually be doing? And does the Interrail is it worth your while? There are some great deals for young people. So if you're going with young kids, etc., you can get an Interrail for an adult, but the Interrail pass for the kids is like
really cheap.
Is really, really affordable. I mean, look, and then you mentioned going on the Orient Express. Now, the Orient Express is thousands and thousands and thousands.
I've looked it up.
Yeah, so what you have is it's like there's brilliant overnight services that are much more affordable, like Nightjet and a relatively new one called European Sleeper. And they're like, it's affordable. It's like really, really good. So you get maybe not the same level of luxury, but you're still traveling the same gauge.
I traveled with Nightjet and it's basic enough. It's like pull down bunks, but it's perfect. And it was four of us in this little compartment, like the kind of compartment you would see on a Harry Potter film where, you know, they have a little door and there's four of you, have you're sort of self-contained. But it is affordable, particularly because we didn't have a hotel accommodation to pay for that night. So it saved you the price of the hotel.
You took
the
words out of my mouth.
So the kind of the actual cost of it for the train ticket and a night's sleep was pretty good.
When I was a youngster and we couldn't afford a lot of airfare, and obviously being Italian, so we would spend our summers in Italy. So when I came of age, so at the age of 16, my parents used to put me on the boat and train to go to Florence to my granny's. And to me, so I'd get on the train in Paris at 8 o'clock at night and I would land in Florence at 8 a.m. And there is well rested. I mean, I was 16, so I could sleep like on a spiky thorn, you know what I mean? But arriving into the city at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's just wonderful. It is endless possibility. Yeah. That's what, to me, train travel is.
Okay, give us your quick key takeaways just to finish up.
Yeah, don't book too late, because particularly if you want to book a window seat, and look, window seats are the thing. You don't want to be sat the third seat in, like looking over two people trying to see the view outside the window. Book early if you're going to get those window seats.
And Italy and Switzerland are your two favourite choices for rail
Switzerland,
travel.
Switzerland, because every train journey in Switzerland is just Alps. Like, it's through the Alps. It's just like so scenically beautiful. But Italian trains, for me, are the best in terms of the Italian network. And this is not to disrespect France, which is excellent. Germany, which is creaking a lot more than
big
it
time.
Used to.
German rail network is...
It's in bad shape, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, relatively speaking, Spain is very good. But Italy, for me, is top of the tops.
Thanks to Benito Mussolini, who made them run on time.
He made the trains run
God
on time.
God bless the fascists. They get a bad rep.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe you said that.
I do not associate myself with them.
No, we're all distancing ourselves from our own remarks. Thank you, Fiona. You've reignited a deep love of trains for me. I have to think about another trip too soon, I think.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.